Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Now, as promised, my next guest is Laura Dockrell, who is a British author, and she's a performance poet, an illustrator as well, and she is known for her vibrant and imaginative storytelling, and she's written a variety of works, including children's books, young authors, adult nonfiction, everything, basically. Laura is remarkable, and she joins me now. Laura, how are you?
Hello, great to see you. Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us on a Sunday morning. You were saying that you're kind of, because you have a six-year-old, you're halfway through your day already anyway.
Oh, yeah. I'm on my fourth breakfast. I'll be having my roast dinner in about 5 minutes.
Once we're finished. So, Laura, exactly. You've had a really fascinating career. And I suppose the reason why we're talking to you now is you've got a new novel. I love you, I love you, I love you. The cover is gorgeous as well. And it's about Ella and Lo. Will you give us a little bit of a synopsis?
Yeah, sure. So it's a little bit set on my, based on my real life experience, actually. So when I was 14 years old, I met a guy that turned out to be my very best friend. And we would write little letters to each other, letters that I would spray with white musk from the body shop and make little mixtapes together. If you are listening and you don't know what a mixtape is, ask someone over the age of 30, but it was a labor of love to make a mixtape. So we'd send these to each other. We would set each other up with each other's friends and all the rest of it. And then when I was 19 years old, I finally got the courage to tell him how I truly felt, that we were more than just friends. And we didn't see each other for 10 years.
Wow.
And we're now married with a kid.
What?
So I wrote about this story of first love, The Guardian, a few years ago. And it got so much response, because I think that kind of first love or that first crush that we have that kind of shapes us and our experience seems to just resonate with many, because everybody can have their own feelings with, I guess to respond to that. So the book is kind of based on real life, but it is fiction.
But Laura, sorry, was that Hugo when you guys were younger?
Yeah.
Oh my God, your husband Hugo White. Yeah. So you didn't see each other. Yeah. Did you not see each other for 10 years afterwards? Because he was like, yee, that's a bit intense that she's just told me that.
So I think he was genuinely shocked. I mean, a lot of it happens in the book, but we did go through a lot together. Hugo sadly lost his mum when we were growing up. My family, my mum got remarried, and we were always by each other's side. And I think he genuinely felt, not that I'd bluffed him or tricked him, but I think he was like, wow, I thought that really was genuine friendship. But I mean, that is no excuse. At the same time, he was also he was in the band, a band that went on to, you know, tour the world and everything. So he was busy, and I sort of felt like my life was stuck. You know, I was living in the same house, still at my mum's, still working in the hairdressers, writing on the side. My career had never really taken off, so I was always thinking, oh, he wouldn't be interested in me, and why would he even think of me? No. And so that's also what the book is about, I suppose, more about, as well as love. It's kind of an apology to my younger self for being so, you know, that as we all go through that crushing self-esteem and all of that. But also it is an ode to friendship, you know. This is separate to the book and not included, but I got unwell. I'm not sure if you knew that. I got unwell after I had my little boy 6 years ago. I was hit out of the blue with a really horrible mental illness called postpartum psychosis. Don't worry, I hadn't heard of it either.
Yeah.
Before I tried to ruin my life. But it really was our friendship that got us through that, because the illness has so many ways of masking. It's really insidious that you kind of lose complete track of who you are. And if we hadn't have had all that years behind us of truly knowing each other in our rawest stage of being, you know, of teenagehood, I don't know if we would have made it through, you know. So The book, I wrote about that experience as well in a memoir called What Have I Done? And although the books are completely different, one memoir, one fiction, they are sisters in a way. They are of the same story.
Laura, I love that story so much. I love true love stories. We all do. And I think that's remarkable. So you're being like, you haven't given his band a name, the Maccabees. Like he was in the Maccabees. He is Maccabees. And you
It's not about him.
No, it's not. And then I do want to come back to What Have I Done? Because it's truly remarkable that you shared that story in such detail. But you went to like you're a baby still, and you went to Brit School of Performing Arts and Technology, and Adele is now your friend, and she went there as well. And I just think that that's a gorgeous thing, that friendships, you know, especially female friendships, can kind of withstand when fame is in presence as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our friendship, I mean, all the friendships, the people that got me through the illness, you know, and this is not with going back to the illness, you know, I don't prescribe any blame on, we have the National Health Service and the NHS, and I don't prescribe any blame to them. But certainly my friendships were the things that spotted the symptoms of my illness before the NHS did, which I think is really crucial. You know, yeah. We have to send these messages to people, you know, after birth or anyone going through mental illness. What can the family do? How important are the family, you know, apart from making tea? Very important. Mm. It's spotting those signs where the nuance of somebody, you know, my behaviours, I didn't want anything to be wrong because I was so afraid of the doctors picking up on something that would have my baby be taken away. That was my ultimate fear.
Yeah.
So you are reliant upon those nuances, those people that you've known throughout your whole life, to be like, that's not Laura, that's not them. Yeah. And that's why I need to go and say something. It could be nothing, but it could be something that could go on to save someone's life. So as you say, especially female friendship, you know, and everybody now, of course, because I was in denial of loving Hugo the whole time, and all my friends are like, now they're like, yeah, yeah, we all knew, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, well, obviously,
we all so knew. We all knew.
We had a wedding. We got married, you know, when Jet was two, actually, on my son's second birthday, which was really nice after everything we went through. And everyone that was there, it was like, you know, a school reunion or something. Just then, everybody was just like, almost like, we knew we'd be here one day.
Yes,
you know?
It was going to happen. But Laura, the thing is, I think the thing is as well is that when, and I've spoken a good deal about what happened to me after Joan was born as well, is that we, you know, it's good to have these shared experiences. We do worry about maybe frightening people who have yet to have their families, if they want them or are currently about to have a family. But it's good to have these shared experiences. And you did CBT afterwards. I did CBT after I had Joan. And it was more for me, I had such bad health anxiety and I had gotten to serious trouble when she was born, like high dependency units and all that kind of stuff. Hence, there's only one. But that it's important to share those experiences so people feel a collective experience, and it alleviates some of the anxiety and stress around it.
Totally. I'm so sorry that you went through that as well. It's just horrendous. And it's such a time of like extreme pressure, because you want to do right. And when I first wanted to write the book, I wanted to call it The Broken Oven, because that was exactly how I felt. I felt like I was cooking this kid and all these people had their eyes peering through the glass, you know, waiting for this cake to rise. And I was the first person to have a baby in both sides of our family.
Right.
So much anticipation and excitement. And then, you know, it's nobody's fault, but the baby comes out and everyone goes off. And of course, like a cake, but the baby's always fine. It's always great. And then I just felt like I was powering down, you know, on my own, and too afraid to ask for help, not wanting to make it about me or my needs, which is a whole other thing of womanhood. I mean, we haven't got the time.
No, we don't. But Laura, I'll tell you one thing, in the hospital, and I'm not, like, I'm kind of was embarrassed about it at the time, but I'm not anymore now, where they're like, when I was in real trouble, everyone's like, the baby's fine. I'm like, what about me? Like, I was actually kind of selfishly going, am I okay?
No, I'm so jealous of that, because I was going through my ones, do you want a salad? Have you had anything to eat? Have you got a boyfriend? What on earth? Like, I was a passenger, so I'm very envious and in awe that you had that, to have that agency and advocacy for yourself, because I had lack of.
I know.
And CBT. Oh, isn't CBT amazing? Like, it helped me so much that.
It did. It definitely did. And I think it's really good to have, you know, these shared experiences. And the other thing that I think is good in a sense, Laura, is like, I don't know what your state of mind was particularly about this at the time, because you were going through so much, but I tortured myself about having one. And it was on Joan's sixth birthday that I went, do you know what, Alison? Accept your little triangle family. It is perfect. And you've got a wonderful life.
I've got a triangle family too. And by the way, I love the name Joan. And the every, you know, I always say, you know, Jet I didn't make Jet, Jet made me. And now I just talk to him all the time about what we went through, because nobody ever came to you know, I spent all this time at school learning about protractors and compasses and algebra. I don't know about you, but never once have I needed a protractor in my adult life. Not once have I needed a compass. But I could have really have done with knowing about mental illness and that it was possible to get so sick from something as universal and as everyday as having a baby.
Yeah.
So I don't want him to live in darkness anymore. You know, I want him to know that these things are possible, not to scare him, but to know that it's so important to ask for help and there's no shame around that.
Exactly.
But also that it's possible to get better.
Yeah. Oh my God, I could talk to you all morning.
Oh,
Laura Dockrell, you are brilliant. I love you, I love you, I love you. It's the album, sorry. That's your husband. It's the album. And I'm going to bring it on the plane with me tomorrow afternoon. And thank you so much for your time. And I will definitely find a reason to have you on again.
Thank you. Awesome. Have a lovely time away.
Thank you. Take care, Laura. Bye. Bye-bye.
Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today.